Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
I had a flashback of when we had Mike Schmidt in our studio. Mike Schmidt, you know, Hall of Famer, baseball player, and just a god in this town, was in our studio one time, and the song that we were playing was, as we were getting ready to introduce him, was Godsmack, the song Crying Like a Bitch. And it's just like, he's crying like a bitch! Just screaming. And I look over at Mike Schmidt, who's just sitting there with his headphones on.
Where the hell am I?
And now we're playing Disturbed with the screaming. And I look over at Terry Crews is sitting right there with his headphones on, just pretending like he's having a good time.
No, I really liked it. Right. No longer be your whore. Yeah, now I was getting into it, man.
Let's welcome Terry Crews. How you doing?
I was into it. I'm ready to do another workout.
Did you already get one in this morning?
Got one
of
in.
Course. Wow, man. Of course.
Yeah.
I love it.
Terry, we were laughing this morning because you posted a picture of you on your Twitter page, Preston and I, and someone had said that you resembled a chewed up Tootsie Roll.
Yes!
And you posted the picture, and it was just hilarious.
Well, they said, now that they put it down, that they couldn't unsee it. And then what was weird is I couldn't unsee it either. I was like, all right, that looks just like me. A chewed up Tootsie Roll. I'm trying to tell you.
And it looks like, if you haven't seen the picture yet, it looks like if you're in the Star Wars movie where they froze Han Solo.
Carbonite.
If you were to freeze Terry Crews in carbonite.
Oh, my God.
So we were thinking it's safe to say you are in the pantheon of favorite guests we've ever had on the show.
Thank you.
And the career just keeps going along. Obviously, your AGT now is a big thing.
Yes.
I'll be honest, I was never that much into the AGT thing. But your zeal... Your excitement for it is so infectious. And now we've known people like John Durenboss and other people who've gone guns with the system. And it is, you will see some wild stuff on that show. So you curated it. And I'm like, okay, I'll jump back in and check it out. So I watch it. What draws you to that show? What do you, because you are clearly exhilarated by it.
This is the thing. First of all, when you look at what entertainment is, the 18 to 35 year olds have gotten too much clout. I'll be honest with you. Yeah. You're like, okay, man, there's a big world.
Yeah.
And, you know, the 18 to 35, that's it. They determine what's hot, what's not. And you're not at all. If you had a family, you understand that your kids, the ones under 18 right. are the ones that's determining everything. And then the ones over 35 are the ones that's paying for everything. So I said, I have to serve all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is what I would determine to do. I started hosting a few years back when I was hosting Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. This is the deal too, because it really, really satisfies me, because I do not, when I perform now on movies and TV, I have no audience. There's nothing. And the adrenaline that comes from when I was in the NFL, it's really replaced by AGT. The crowd noise, the energy, the fact that anything can happen. When it's live, man.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, you get to go live.
No, it's live. Yeah. Look, I get the keys to NBC for 2 hours. And they're like, look, bring it back in one piece. Don't break it. Yeah. Don't dent it.
Yeah.
And watch out when you're backing up with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And basically, you got to bring it back in the same condition or better.
Uh-huh.
And it's so, you realize anything can go wrong, and I love it.
So the other night, something went wrong with the guy with the crossbows and the levers. And so I found myself on the edge of the seat watching this mistake, these flaws, because not everybody that comes on AGT does it perfectly.
No, they don't.
So for people who aren't watching, what happened?
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, I mean, the guy thought he had set his trap, he set his arrows right and the whole thing, and he realized he was nervous.
And he's strapped in.
Yes!
Yeah.
He was nervous, and he didn't do it right. Dude,
oh, no.
But this was so wild, man. You start to realize, and my thing is always talking to the acts and trying to talk them through so that they can be at a relaxed.
Right.
Because the deal is...
Easier said than done, though, right?
It is, because everyone makes you... They make you nervous. I had one guy... I'm going to tell something right now. This is crazy. I was doing this movie, Blended. with Adam Sandler.
Down in South Africa. You were great at it as the singer and Calypso guy.
It was awesome. But see, one person can mess up your whole world.
Right.
I remember I was about to do this scene, the whole thing, and we only had a few minutes to do the scene where we were losing light and the whole thing. And the director of photography, I don't want to mention his name, but he walked up to me and he said, "Don't F up." Now, that's the worst thing you could say to anyone. But thank God I knew to counteract that. And I said, don't take it. Don't take it. In fact, use it as fuel.
Right.
In fact, focus. Get inside. Come inside more. And I jammed and the whole thing. And I did we did the thing with the choir. And we were singing and doing the whole thing. And I looked at him. He was like, "That was pretty amazing." And I was literally like, "F you." I could not believe he would have the nerve to do that. So I realized what I wanted to do for all these acts is be the anti that. Come in there and tell him, "You got this, man. You can do it. It's okay." But he just got so nervous.
He didn't turn the safeties off.
And you got real people. And he's standing there in front of it. And then you got Alicia. She's wondering whether should I press the button or not. She could have killed somebody.
Yeah.
Well, it's really nuts.
The acts are like that. There have been some injuries, but that's the real deal. What sort of blows my mind is they're using the theater. There was a dance act that was using projection or something like virtual dance, and I mean it was
Freckled Sky, yeah.
Right. It was as theatrical and Broadway level that I've ever seen. How much time did they get? Because that had to be live. How much time do you get to set something like that up?
Oh my God. First of all, the crew on America's Got Talent has been underrated and not appreciated enough. This is literally like putting on the Oscars every week. It's the biggest live show on television, period. And it's the biggest talent show in the world.
Well,
so they're the best in the business, man. And any mistake, it could all go wrong. They do it so good. People think that, it's a given or whatever. But, man, when you watch this crew and as well as they do it, you talk about roadies and all this stuff. It's one of the best things in the world.
One act that's on for two hours. Because it's the thing, this guy, I don't know, to explain it, Preston, the dancers at one point look like they're marionettes.
Yes.
Faux strings coming down. And there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, precision stuff.
Well, I feel like a circus master.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what I love because I come from also the days of the variety show,
right?
Listen, Carol Burnett was one of my favorite shows of all time. And I miss that, man. I wanted to bring that back. And I'm not a comedian, but at the same time, this energy, this love, I want to be this guy. And it's to get this opportunity is the biggest thing in the world for me.
I think for the entertainers and like for John Dornbos has told us what, the whole experience was like and the whole deal. And obviously there's the background story, which plays into it and the emotion and all that stuff. So for some reason it works. It's the oldest Ted Mack's Amateur Hour that goes back for, decades.
Ed Sullivan.
Yeah, Ed Sullivan, where these people come out and spin dishes and all that stuff. Was talking about like the act with the arrows and all that stuff. What was the one act you thought, okay, this guy's gonna die?
Yeah.
what was the one where you thought this guy's coming out in a body bag?
Oh, there are several. I'm trying to say which one. Some of these that are coming up. There was a guy who was in a water tank. And I thought, he was
what, like the Houdini thing.
This is like he did a Houdini-ish deal, man. And I said, man, and then it didn't look like things were happening right. you could tell when his assistants start running. You're like, oh man. First of all, you don't want anything to go wrong because it ruins. It could, you don't want to watch anybody die on live TV. You just don't want to do it.
Would you want to be a judge? Do you think you could do it?
No, I don't. The judging thing is super, super hard, man.
I think so, especially with the appeal of AGT is the variety of acts you're going to get. You got dance, you got magic, comedians, song, all this different stuff. But how do you compare those things as far as talent goes? I'd have a really hard time.
And I think some of the judges have harder times. Yep. I think Simon and Howie are probably the most well-rounded judges. I've seen Heidi not get jokes, and because she doesn't get a joke, she gets offended by it. It's hard.
But let me tell you one thing. I got to tell you this. The reason we have judges is because America wants blood. I'm just telling you. First of all, how can you compare a singer to a dancer to a danger act?
Mm-hmm. Well, we know.
How can you do that?
The end result is, and this is the way I've always framed it. To me, you're looking for somebody who would be a successful Las Vegas act.
Right.
And that's the context, correct? Right.
But at the same time, this stuff is subjective.
Right, yeah.
What show do you see in Vegas? It's the show you want to see.
Right, right, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, if you want to see singers, you love singers. If you want to go to a dance show, you go to a dance show. So the deal is that America wants someone to lose.
Yeah.
America wants you bleeding. And they don't care if you're under 10. And listen, first of all, I love it. I love America. It's the sports mentality.
No.
It literally is. Someone has to go home. And bam, and that makes you tune in. But if they were like, there's really no competition, it's all an exhibition, they'd be like, who's nobody dying here. I'm not going to watch this.
Could you imagine your life without the foundation that you had in sports and all that that's trained you for? I mean, it seems to provided you with a Swiss Army knife of capabilities that's gotten you through. I remember when I first saw you, I thought, and I have to be honest, who is this meathead? Who's this guy? Who's this guy? And then I go, why is this meathead so funny? And then I realized this guy's talented. But you said you weren't funny, you weren't a comedian or so on and so forth. It seems to me you okay, this is something I got to take on and tackle and work through. Sports had to be just an absolute essential part of what made you you.
Yeah, you know, first of all, it was.
Yeah.
Simply because in the locker room, it's like all versions of humanity.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I was funnier in the locker room than I ever was on these shows. We had so much fun hanging in the locker room and just bawling and hanging and talking and really doing our thing. The sport itself, however, a lot of that drama came with baggage.
Right.
You know what I mean? And my thing is, sports is good until it isn't.
Yeah.
It's literally one of those things where first of all, I love sports, I love entertainment, but I love people more. And when you use people in expense of the sport, like right now the NFL is going through a thing where all the older guys are going through it. And they're not helping them. Mm-hmm. There's so many guys that need help, man, mentally, physically. The NFL will literally deny that they caused these issues. You know what I mean? And
Crazy. That's
my thing is just admit it, man, and let's just help them.
Right.
But my deal is, you know, it's one of those things where I had to get rid of a lot of things that was bad and keep the good.
Yeah.
And sports can be very, very good, but if it's used in the wrong way, man, you will end up you end up miserable.
Yeah. I believe it. One of the things, speaking of being talented, that we really weren't aware of was your artistic ability. And it was one of the before even sports, right? I mean, you were sketch and painting, and were you a court sketch artist?
Yes.
Get out of here!
I had an art scholarship before I had a football scholarship.
Wow! I was looking at some of your stuff. It's really good.
Oh,
and why is it that court sketch room artists are usually so terrible?
Yes, they are. A lot of it is you have to be fast.
Yeah,
but at the same time, you have to understand too. You know, for me, you know, I would have went the whole art route, but no one was going to pay for that.
Like, yeah, okay.
Starving artists is a real thing. Starving goes right before artists.
Yeah.
I mean, name an artist who actually got paid while he was alive.
Yeah.
It's very, very rare.
Right, celebrated after they found
Oh, yeah, you've been
somewhere.
Dead 30 years. They're like, well, now he gets the million.
Yeah. You create every day?
Yeah.
I
sketch all the time.
Okay.
Sketch all the time.
What do you prefer? What is your favorite?
People. I love sketching faces.
Okay.
Faces.
But sketching
people.
Over painting and all that?
Oh, yeah. It's you know, I just sketch because I have time for it, but I'll take it all the way. I mean, I will go do a full painting if I have time to do that. But when I was get cut from an NFL team, I would go back in the locker room and ask the players if they want their portraits painted. That's what I would do.
Oh,
and that's how I survived.
Wow.
They would be like, man, you pretty good, man. But you know what? I would
were you self-taught?
No, I'm self-taught.
Wow.
But I would literally trick the guys. I'd be like, man, you need a painting. Look at you. You one of the most amazing players ever. Look at you walking around here all muscular and beautiful. Let me immortalize you. Yeah, you know, you're right, man. Here's $5,000. Flattery. Thank you.
You're a
marketing.
You're a lefty too.
Oh yeah, left-handed, right-brained. Yeah. I mean, very creative. It's just it's my thing, man. It's always been my thing. Yeah, I had I taught a class at Facebook. That was a photo from when I taught a class at Facebook. And you know what was wild? Some of the most talented people in the world, and they were sitting there. And these guys had degrees from everywhere, I asked them to start drawing, and they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you know what's happening? What's happening is you're judging your work immediately. Mm-hmm. And what you got to know is all judgment stops creativity in its tracks. Huh. You have to just go.
Right.
And you have to do it. And you have to not care what people think. You have to not. But what happened was they were like, they wouldn't, before they started putting a pen down on the paper, they would look over at the other guy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But this is what we do in life.
Yeah, you're right.
This is the mistake we make all the time. The stuff you always wanted to do. All that things you wanted to go for. You're over there looking at everybody else. Well, I'm not going to try it. What will everybody say? You know what? I don't care. I realize, don't think about what everybody else is saying. Right. Just go for your gut. Go for that intuition. Don't judge yourself.
There are two words I like to use when I find myself facing something I'm not sure I want to do, and it's just begin.
Oh, that's
just
good.
Begin.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
That's all you've got to do.
Dude, if you start, all of a sudden things get done. And you know what? Because I'm a great starter. I am an excellent starter. But what I had to learn, too, is this is the thing. Finish it.
Yeah.
Wait, just get it done, and then you can always change it. Because what happens is you get to start, and then it's not perfect.
Uh-huh.
So you don't want to finish it. But no, finish it, and then you can change it. Dude, these are things you almost have to hypnotize yourself. You literally have to get out of your own brain and get out of your own way.
It's funny you say that, because I like to sketch as well, and I'll sketch on the iPad. And the iPad allows you to undo.
Yes.
It almost sort of takes away that, okay, I've got this now. I've got to work this. You know, you can correct mistakes all the time. It's like, well, it's cool. It's also sort of a cheat, you know?
Listen, everything I do, I have a mantra. It's start small, think big.
Right.
Start small, think big. Okay, just do a little bit.
Right.
Just, you know, I'm actually taking Mandarin Chinese lessons right now.
What?
I picked the hardest language to learn, but I'm getting it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. I've been doing this for like a month. And I'm like, wait a minute, I understood that. When I heard the lady, she was like, wuxia, and I was like, I know what wuxia means.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what that means, you know. And so I realized, okay, start small. You wait. First of all, I haven't mastered English. I had to literally look at myself like, have I mastered English? No. So if I get to a point where I can tell somebody I'm hungry, and I can tell somebody where's the bathroom in Chinese, I'm good. You know what I mean?
How is one human so talented?
No, because first of all, it's not even that. I just keep going. Like, just try everything you want to do, and I only do what I want. I don't do, if there's something I don't want to do, it's like, don't even worry about it. You know what I mean?
You're going to be good. I'm sorry, go ahead.
As I've aged, I've found that I need to be working on something. I need to be working on something that I can improve upon, something that's a bit of a challenge. And I'm loving it. I didn't realize this until just a few years ago, whether it be, you know, working on a golf swing, or I'm a musician and I want to improve and to keep going on that. And I love having that.
It's
so
satisfying.
Yeah.
First of all, you've been talked out of your creativity, man. You've been told you're not creative. First of all, like you said, I'm left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
The world is a right-handed world, which deals with math and science. So all the arts are given as hobbies, but just half your brain.
Yeah.
So you have to, I'm literally telling everybody, be more creative, exercise it, because you've been talked out of it a long time ago, and it's so satisfying. I built Legos like crazy.
Yeah, so speaking of arts and stuff like that, so my daughter's in eighth grade, she's in school right now, so I can talk about her. what the arts has done for her has given her the confidence. Like, so she's in eighth grade, and she's having, like, the best year of her life. And it's all because of what she's been doing in the theater. And it's a very, very, they just, everybody
nurturing
and everybody, like, loves each other, and it's just so positive. But, like, she's getting that from the arts.
That's right.
Yeah, and she's been playing sports ever since she was, you know, 4 years old, too.
But look what the schools, they're taking the instruments out of schools. Mm-hmm. Art is given a short shrift. Yep. All this stuff is treated like music and art and whatever. They're like, do that on your own time. That's a hobby.
No.
But math and science, if you got that, you're good. And I think we're severely lacking right now just as a society, because we're not creative enough. This is why we run to Avengers and we run to the movies, because we need it so bad. All the story, all the content, we need more. We need more.
Imagine the world without art. Imagine the world without creativity, without music, without paintings, and what we would be bereft of if we didn't have that. And to your point about all you have to do is create. It doesn't matter if it's good. Just do something, create that, and if it stinks, do the next one.
First of all, that's the world I grew up in. Factory life. Flint, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, they were like, "What you doing drawing? What's that? What kind of boy are you?" You're like, yeah. "Hey, man, hey, look, I like drawing. Okay, yeah. I like music. I play the flute. I play the flute. You know what they would call me? They were like, why you play the flute? I was like, I'm bigger than you. I can bitch more than you. So what? So now what?" And they were like, "Yeah, you know, you're right."
Did you see the Equalizer, the second Equalizer movie?
Yes.
He's counseling a kid who's an artist.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's it. That's right there. That's just, you know.
It's going to come out. This is what the whole graffiti thing is about, man.
Yeah.
It's like, put it on canvas and sell it.
Yeah. I just think of like, okay, math and science. But you go to somebody's home now. They don't have microscopes hanging on the wall. You know what I mean? No. They got like, hey, like I play the guitar for, you know, so, you know, math and science, I don't necessarily, if that's not what you're going to do, you're not going to take that wherever you go unless, my brother's a chemist. He's a scientist. My sister's a math
teacher. And that's fine.
You know what I mean? Like, so I'm not knocking it. But,
right.
Yeah.
But I think make it more equal.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And we would be remiss if we didn't throw some love to Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Casey and I are huge fans of the show. NBC gave you the new home, which is very cool, which is wonderful. The show was on the brink of going away and came back, and it is, I think, one of the sharpest ensembles on television.
Oh.
Your revelation on the show, as is Andre Brower,
who
just unbelievable. You're up and running.
Yes. Season 7 starts February 6th. We already have been picked up for season 8.
Nice.
That's the vote of confidence, man.
Why do you think it works
8
so well?
Seasons. It's crazy.
Why do you think it works so well?
Because, you know, we love each other, man.
Yeah.
And this is the greatest thing ever. One thing I'm gonna preach right now.
Yeah.
Competition is the opposite of creativity. The opposite. We do not compete with each other as a cast.
Right.
That's the, when you see a show fall,
yeah,
it's usually because the actors or somebody within there is competing with each other, and it causes the thing to blow up out of nowhere. We literally are all operating on our own levels, creating and encouraging each other. We are a true family, man. I don't know what else to say.
And everyone gets their moment.
Everybody.
And also, you allow the self-deprecation,
yes,
the stuff that they have you doing is hilarious.
I love it.
And again, a lot of people forget, out of the gate, Brooklyn Nine-Nine was sort of the sweetheart. It won, I think, a Golden Globe for the best comedy series and so on and so forth. And then suddenly, I'm like, what the F? This show is great. And why are they getting rid of it for? Now, you know, this far into it has got to be the ultimate, you know, acknowledgement. And also that when you have a fan base, you talk about the connection of the fan base.
Yes.
That actually was vocally, going after making sure the show came back.
Well, I got something to say. You know, when you're talking about Nielsen ratings, that's that 18 to 35 and the whole thing. But this is the deal. And you want to talk about math and science. Mm-hmm. If you really want to get a good gauge on what people are watching, you need a bigger pie. But the Nielsen is literally only 5,000 homes.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. I'm going, hey. But let me tell you what happened. The internet.
Yeah.
The internet spoke for us. They literally went nuts. And they got like a 100 million people saying, wait a minute. Why did you cancel this show? And for NBC to pick us up, man.
Yes.
To give us that kind of love. What can I say? And now you're talking about in an era where you get maybe 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And they call it 2 seasons. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're well over 170 episodes. I mean, literally, in the can.
A good friend of the show, Kate Flannery, has appeared on the show as well.
Kate's great.
And everyone that goes through it says just great things about the environment on the show. I also have to bring up the fact you were in Deadpool 2.
Yes. For a second. Oh, that was a big troll. We trolled everybody on that one.
What was that like? Because he is so talented, Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, my God.
And we get the impression that there's just a lot of free lines going on right and left. What was the experience like working on that?
It was an amazing experience because I love Ryan. But the big thing was the trick was we were going to troll everybody.
Yeah, and you did.
Because I knew instantly that I was going to die right away. Okay? But so I went on a whole press tour. But see, this is the thing. Fanboys deserve that.
Yeah.
Because they go out of their way to figure it all out. I already know. You know what I mean? I got the spoiler.
Doesn't that take the enjoyment out of it?
Oh, they want to.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, we got something for you. You should have seen at the premiere. They were like, hey, what is going on? No.
I mean, because everyone dies.
Oh, and Ryan knew that. And Ryan was like, he's the smartest guy ever. Yeah. He's like, he actually gave them a real surprise.
Right, yeah.
Because they thought for sure that I was, Terry Crews is finally in a Marvel movie. Well, what the hell's happening? And it was so good, dude.
Ryan's ahead of the game with, he's a few steps ahead of everybody else with the joke.
He
knows where the joke is going before you know where the joke is going.
He's amazing.
Well, he's a perfect example of taking, because the first appearance of Deadpool was in a substandard. I mean, listen, it was okay, but he knew that it should be something, and he stuck with the project for years.
Yes.
And would not relent.
Yep.
But you gotta, listen, first of all, there's two people you can't imagine, you know, as any other thing. There's Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man.
Yeah.
And Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. Dude, there's nobody else that can take that spot.
You're right.
You know what I mean? And that, to me, that's the ultimate. Like, this is where I want to be. I want to be irreplaceable.
Yeah.
I want to be like, you got to get Terry Crews or you just, you're missing it. And that's my goal. Like, in everything that I do, I want it to just be me. And that's what the ultimate in creativity is. You know what I mean? And when you got Ryan, when he created that character, he made it his. I can't even see it any other way. It was an honor.
Well, I think now you can say we need a Terry Crews type, and people know exactly what you're looking for. So you've reached that. Any shot of you returning? It has, because it's happened before. As in the Marvel universe or DC?
I would love to. Yeah. I would love to. In fact, when you look at Deadpool, I didn't die. I was literally on life support at the end. I was laying on the ground. They were pumping my chest.
It's true.
Beep, beep, beep. So anything can happen.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
I'm open to all of it because I can.
Yeah.
My deal is to always keep people surprised. I like to pop out of your cereal box. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what is he doing? What is this? I literally, because this is the thing. Everyone had me at this kind of career.
Yeah.
And my deal is, you know, you can do anything. I want to show people. I exist to show you what's possible. And that's for real.
Well, but the truth of the matter is whenever we see you, and this is the ultimate compliment, we know it's going to be a good time.
Oh.
You're in so many things that we enjoy. That, you know, in our microcosm here, when people say, like, when they listen to the show and it gets into a tough time or something, that's the ultimate compliment. You're that exponentially with so much that you do in those projects. That's got to be, you know, that's got to be so fulfilling.
But this is why, again, growing up in Flint, Michigan, and the whole log line was, you're going to hate your life. So, you know, you got to get ready to make the sacrifice right now. You know, and I was like, no. I am only going to do what I love.
Yeah.
If I make a little bit of money, fine. But I'm only going to do what I love. But you know what happens? Most everything I'm doing now, I would do for free. I'll be honest with you. I'll do AGT for free. I would do Brooklyn Nine-Nine for free. But what happens is, when you love it that much, they pay you a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, that is the advice I tell our interns. Or my father, both Preston and I had, fathers gave us the same advice. If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Right.
And you will naturally excel at it because you will invest the time in it. And with that will come the reward.
Dude, I feel like I am playing all the time. I'm just at play. And when I get there, it's like, my God, who gets this?
Yeah,
who gets this? You know what I mean?
Well, you deserve it, man. That's really wonderful. Do.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. America's Got Talent, Mondays, 8 o'clock, and it's the champions that's going on
right now.
So make sure that you check out. Dude, we loved you here last time you were here. We absolutely loved it. You got to come back anytime you're in Philly. We love having you.
I love coming here, guys.
Such a positive energy force.
First of all, you know, when people talk about this stuff too, you know, people kind of there's people who like roll their eyes, like, yeah, Mr. Positive. But first of all, it's true.
Yeah,
I'm not saying anything that's not true. No. And this is the deal, because what's happening is your brain is like it grows weeds. You know what I mean? And you constantly got to pluck that junk out.
Yeah.
All the crap, all the little stuff, all that mess. You got to always, this is why you have to clean your house. This is why you have to dust all the time. Because if you leave it there, it's going to get dirty. It's going to get messed up. So this is the part of being positive, is reminding myself what's true, what's real. Like, it is up to you. You can do it. That's all it is. And it's not hyperbole. It's not, oh, man, we're pie in the sky. This is for real stuff, man. I don't want anybody to mix it up and think that I'm just like blah, blah. Ooh.
No, we firmly believe in what you're saying. Creative visualization, seeing the prize and going after it. People who dispense and dismiss it will pay the price for it. And there's so much to be gleaned if you allow yourself to buy into it and move forward, because we ultimately everyone wants everyone to do to realize their optimum, their maximum,
you know,
and that's something that you can achieve.
I'm with it, man.
It's not just crap.
I'm with it.
I love
it. Let's go. I'm pumped. Let's work out again. I don't want to be your whore.
Perfect segue. Oh, let's hear for Terry Crews. Love you, man. Thanks for being here. Terry Crews. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Want more Preston and Steve? Get the whole show podcast or bizarre files at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.